You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN, and yes, on a Would You Wednesday.
Oh, it's over now.
Phil Mushnick already printed a new story.
So, listen, we were talking about this off the air. I like to make my goals public.
Okay.
Puts pressure on me to achieve them.
All right.
So every time we look up, we have the Pat McAfee show on ESPN because we watch ESPN. We love the company. Mm-hmm. We're shills for the company,
big,
by the way.
Oh, yeah, big shills.
And he gets the biggest guest every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that he can't get.
It's
and
crazy.
He's not paying them all like Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Today he had on Eli Manning. Right now he has on Travis Kelce. The biggest guest in the world.
Oh, yeah, as big as it gets.
It is now my goal to be a guest on that show.
Wow. That could happen.
No, I don't know if it can or it can't. I'm not big enough, but it's my goal to be in that middle square between Pat McAfee and Hawk.
I've done it. I've been there. I've been there.
But not while I was on ESPN. It was
no,
a YouTube vehicle.
No, it was pre-ESPN.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count?
I was on there with Jace. I played a rant.
But no, you have to get your face on it.
That's it?
Why? I mean, my name has been mentioned on it, and yours was too, Don. Peter, for some reason, was not.
Odd.
I need to be a guest where Pat and AJ...
So real quick, I just want to get this straight.
Yeah.
You don't want to seem like a nudge with Larry David.
Right.
But you will go on the air and beg to be on a show.
No, Don, you heard up and down? No, no, no. Wait a second. Let's pump the brick. Not begging. I'd be an unbelievable guest for them. You could have the biggest guest in the world and they're just bores. I would bring it. People would be talking about my appearance.
But still, you're kind of begging to do it.
No, no. I'm saying that's a goal of mine. Not begging.
It's a goal.
If I begged, I could have somebody. I could call up somebody at ESPN. Please get me a McAfee. No, I want to earn it.
How would you earn it?
Just by being me.
And by the way,
you don't think it's possible, Peter? He's on every day.
It'd be tough because it's on opposite us.
But yeah, but you can.
Oh, this
work
is oh, yeah, this is a re-air. Okay.
Yeah,
they're on 12-3, so it's perfect.
Yeah, 12-3.
I don't think what's possible.
The network has a relationship with MLB.
I think this whole conversation is sad.
Michael Kay is the voice of the Yankees. You don't think there's a possibility you get Michael Kay on?
Of course
after
I do.
A big Yankee story or just like leading into the start of the season, let's get Michael Kay on. He talked about like how big you were and how big the show was in New York when they were talking about my rant. So I think it's Peter. I almost believe that he's doing this knowing that there's a pretty reasonable chance he could be on the show.
Well, I
can be on First Take whenever I want. I could be on...
Whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whenever you want.
Absolutely.
Any day you want to go on First
no,
Take.
No, I mean, I don't know if they'd have me on giving football takes, but if I want to be on First Take, I would call up and I'd get on. I mean, it's part of my contract with ESPN, too.
So
they don't have to pay me to be on.
Well, that means they can have you on whenever they want.
And I think I can be on whenever I want.
All right, so go on tomorrow.
I don't want to get up at 5 in the morning and drive to the South Street Seaport.
You have to get up at 5 to go to First Take?
Yeah, you got to be there early.
5 a.m.?
Well, I live a long way away. I can do have a shower.
But anyways, this whole conversation is beneath you. And
Listen, see? Nothing's beneath me. Stop it.
Well, no, apparently not.
I'm an ESPN shill.
But I just wonder, I wish you would use this pathetic energy to ask Larry David one more time you want to come up tomorrow instead of asking...
You have Larry David's number, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was Billy Crystal you got.
I don't have Larry's number. I would ask.
No, I'm not giving it to you.
Actually, you know what I told Dipperstein.
Dip.
He went to the party last night, the premiere.
It was a big party?
He had a huge premiere in L.A.
It was just fun.
I didn't talk to him yet.
Oh.
I was going to say to him, I said, if you see Larry, ask if he's coming on our show this week. I wonder if he said it.
Larry would like flick Dipperstein away with his fingers.
He loved Dipperstein.
How does he know Dipperstein?
Because Dipperstein's also Cheryl's agent.
Really?
That's right. How do you feel now? How do you feel now?
Is he also RFK Jr.'s agent?
So now you're going to turn into some sort of weird I don't see things politically like you.
I'm not a political animal. I don't think about political things.
All I'm saying is Dip was invited to the party. That's what matters.
Right.
I think it would have been his third time meeting LD. Right. The first time was right after he did our show.
Who do you think is more important to Larry, Dip or me?
You. But what is it? But he apparently you're not very important, so.
He's flying.
But you gave up. You didn't feel confident
because
to go, how about tomorrow?
I don't like to push people.
But you're begging Pat McAfee on the air.
You know, you're taking a leap from saying,
Don,
one of my goals is to be on.
Don, is it close to begging?
If I wanted to beg, I'd be on tomorrow.
It's begging a Jace.
No, no, I would be on tomorrow. I'd call somebody ESPN high up and go, please get me on Pat McAfee, please. And it would probably happen. I want to earn my way on.
There's only one. What do you mean earn?
I don't get
that. He's not the president of the United States. You're not earning anything.
He's getting the best guest in the world. I want to be considered that.
So he's getting the best guest in the world.
He is getting the best guest in the sports world.
So, but you wouldn't you have already earned that? What are you going to do? Have a call that's so great that he goes, I need him.
You got to hear the calls I have planned for the first series in Houston.
Wow. He had Marc-Andre Fleury on last week. I think he wedged Michael Kay in.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Michael. Does the great Marc-Andre Fleury still count as best guest in the world?
Math, they call him.
Yeah. I love math.
Well, now, listen, I like it as a hockey fan, but yeah. I think you can. You know, Michael Kay is recognizable in the baseball world.
You know what? How long has he been associated with ESPN?
Only a few months.
I haven't been asked.
You got time.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Bloomfield. Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Great. I just want to say it's my first time on the air, but my second time through, the first time I won tickets to see Drake about 6 years ago.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. It was actually my first concert by my then girlfriend, my now wife.
Wow. So we helped that, huh? We helped that.
Yeah, it was cool.
Good for you.
Yes, you did.
Drake tickets. That's a good giveaway.
That's a good first concert. And to win them, to boot, that's good.
It was Drake and Amigos. It was a great concert.
I was at that concert. I have the t-shirt still. Love it.
Yeah, it's a great story, too. My first concert was at a VIP suite in Madison Square for Drake.
Wow.
People don't believe it.
Love it. So what do you got, Mike?
I just want to say you had a point earlier that the pre-KD Kyrie Nets were better than these Nets, and I just disagree with that. Those Nets was a... 3 years to get to that point, and I think they were peaking. At this time last year, KD and Kyrie were still on the team. So I think this team is good, has talent. I mean, I know they're not performing, but I think they just have to pick a direction, either trade their picks for somebody more talent. But here's the problem.
You know, the Harden deal, they gave up their draft picks. Right? So they don't even have their draft picks for when they struggle. The 2019 team, but they're not their own.
But they still have assets. They have a lot of assets.
I think they were better off in 2019. I just do. I think they were primed to make a move, and obviously the move was to get those two guys, and we thank you for the phone call. My point was those two guys undermined what they did because they both begged out. I mean, the vaccine situation was a bad situation with Kyrie. I can't put the blame on anybody there. But he didn't play a lot because of social issues and didn't seem like he wanted to play. Kevin Durant followed him around.
Yep.
So Kyrie wanted out and Kevin Durant wanted out. They submarined everything that Sean Marks was trying to do.
Well,
no,
the
2019
like
team was better.
This.
What was the last part, Don?
I said, you know, Harden was like, I don't need this.
And you know, we ripped Harden, and you know what? Harden was right. Harden saw what was going down. He wanted out. He didn't want to be associated with Kyrie. He wanted out. So I don't need this. Now, he's always unhappy. Doesn't seem like he's that unhappy now with the Clippers, but when you look at his history, back of his basketball card, he's always unhappy, looking to beg out of someplace. Right. But he had a legitimate beef with the Nets. What do I want to be associated with these people for? Not the net ownership. They seem like fine people. Not Sean Marks, but Kyrie and Kevin? Well, why would you want to be associated?
And the vaccine probably isn't his fault, but it would have been something else. Like, there was always something else with
it. It was something else. It's a social unrest. He just disappeared.
Right. So if there was no COVID, he would have found something else that he didn't want to play and beg out. It sped everything up because it was a really bad situation, and not all of it his fault, but he doesn't have a kick coming because it probably would have been something else.
Let's go to our good buddy Bruce in Flushing. Bruce.
Bruce.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey,
okay. Couple of Ranger points and some Nick points. First on the Rangers. Anybody who thinks the Rangers should trade Igor away for another goaltender doesn't know anything about hockey. Is he in a slump? Yes, he's in a slump. But you don't find his kind of talent anywhere.
Wait a minute, Bruce. Have we overrated his talent?
No. He's in a slump. Just like a hitter goes into a slump, he's in a goalie slump.
Well, he was in a goalie slump last year, too. It was a pretty long slump.
Well, but the thing is...
Right, Bruce, he got out of it last year, too.
Right, but the thing is, Bruce, we thought that he was a legendary goaltender 2 years ago. He had a .938 save percentage. This year, it's at .899. I mean, he has definitely taken a drop off. I'm with you. I don't trade him. It's ridiculous because he's still a good goaltender. But Michael's right. We might have overrated him. But even if he ends up not being what we thought, Michael, he's still a really good goaltender. And in a league where we've seen Darcy Kemper win Stanley Cups and Antti Niemi win Cups and Matt Murray win Cups, that you don't have to have the best goaltender in the league. You just need your goaltender to play great. And he has proven that he can play great. And I don't know if there's any other goaltender available. Devils are looking for a goaltender. Carolina might be looking for a goaltender. You know, so where are you supposed to get it if you decide to part ways? Where are you going?
No, you definitely have to have an answer, but I guess the rubber meets the road at the end of next season when he's going to want to be paid.
Right, and now that might affect how much he's going to get paid because he's not going to get paid big-time money if he's a pedestrian goaltender this year and next. Now, and Michael, if they're out of it or if he costs them a chance to do something, then maybe this time next year, if he's still playing this way, then you could start talking about maybe an exit strategy because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. But right now, with a year and a half left on his contract, and not that long ago he was an elite goaltender, I'm gonna see how this plays itself out the rest of the year.
Andrew in Long Beach. Andrew?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
I'm just really impressed with the next man up mentality for the Knicks over these past two great victories. You have DiVincenzo emerging with a couple of great games scoring the ball. You have Precious Achiuwa sliding into the starting lineup, providing great minutes at power forward. Hardenstein doing what he does. And actually, they've expanded Hardenstein's role a little bit in the past couple of games, going to him in the post, posting up, using his strength to score. So really just a great time to be a Knicks fan. And go New York, go New York, go. Let's go Knicks.
I love it, Andrew. You're right. And I think that the brilliance of the trade with Toronto, you know, we're all nervous about quickly because of the depth, but people have stepped up. They knew what they had on the bench. And not only did they get OG on Anunoby in that deal, they got Precious Achiuwa. Now, they didn't know Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein were going to be out at the same time, but Achiuwa has stepped up, and now he's stepped up for Randall. So their bench has been better than we gave it credit for. That deal is the gift that keeps on giving. Would the Knicks have gone 14-2? Think about it, Knick fans. Would they have gone 14-2 if, in fact, they didn't make that trade? If they kept things static, RJ and quickly, no, they wouldn't be 14-2. No.
No way.
Maybe they'd be 10-6. Maybe. They wouldn't be 14-2. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. Spike.
Man, I'm so happy. I got to tell you something. I think I figured out the secret sauce, and it's relative to growing up watching Red Auerbach take my kishkas out, eat my guts out every time. In all sports, there's things like chiropractors do. They give you adjustments. And Red Auerbach would come out and wipe the floor with you in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter. Every single time. The run would be 11-2 or 5, because they didn't call that six-minute timeout. When I grew up, things have changed. And from New Britain, Connecticut, Tom Thibodeau in the last 14 or 16 games, what were they, 14-2 in January?
Yep.
Okay. And they had the biggest differential in the history of the league point wise. I devalue that a little bit with all the points being scored. But he's made adjustments. And Bruce, good to hear from him too. He's had a rough couple of years health wise. So get better, Bruce. The movement of the ball And the movement of these Villanova guys who are not one and done guys, I think one of you guys said it previously, it's one of that 29 or 30 assists last night and maybe three turnovers, some ridiculously low amount. I know they weren't playing the old Showtime Lakers, but this team, it can't knock them down. And two of their three best players were out. So what I'm seeing here is the big tell, always a big tell in sports, is will Drew Holiday or Damian Lillard improve one team more than the other, if you follow where I'm going from. Because the Knicks will not have to play in all likelihood both those teams. You see my point?
Yeah, absolutely. I got some good news for you, Spike.
Go ahead.
Shoot.
Now, I know you always listen, but you're going to really want to listen on Friday. You know who we're having on? Bill Bradley.
Right up your alley.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, the senator.
The senator.
Yeah.
The senator. You know what? When they made the big move in 68-69, the Bush came over 68-69, and they won the next year. It moved Bradley from the backcourt, where he was too slow, to a small forward, and it moved Willis, because Bellamy, people don't realize, Michael, you'll remember, Walt Bellamy put up 28-30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Great play. But Bellamy from Indiana was moved, and Willis was playing his proper position. Bradley moved up to the right position. They put Cassie on the bench, and the rest is history. And whoever said it before, maybe Bruce said about Red Holzman, he's smiling because they're moving this ball like it's on a string, no matter who's in the game. That's the impressive thing. It's a delight to watch them, and I just love every second of it. And my would you is... I'll take one more championship. I'll give you 3 months of my life at my point.
What? No.
Spike,
stop.
Take it back.
Come, take that back.
Take it back.
No, life is precious.
I'm sorry. It affects my life, not just Spike's.
I want to share it with everybody. It's been so long. I want to share it. We've never seen the Knick Parade down the Canyon of Heroes. I'm saying 2-year window. And I don't want anybody in this team unless it's two guys. I'll drop Devin Booker in and I'll give him more 6 draft picks. He'll make the difference. And the only other guy will be is Donovan Mitchell, and you'll get him for nothing. He'll stroll right in the door next year after the trading deadline.
I support you, Spike.
You don't understand, Peter.
What do you mean?
Life is precious.
I understand, but you also are so far removed from being a hardcore fan that for some people it would be they'd throw 3 months in a heartbeat to get it.
But Spike's close to 80.
He's not that close to 80.
Oh, he's in the 70s, late 70s.
I think early 70s.
I don't know that he's early 70s.
I believe he's early 70s.
I don't think he is.
I think he is. But go ahead.
We need confirmation.
Okay, so as you're getting older, those 3 months are a bigger part of the percentage of what you have
absolutely.
Left.
But he's still
like if a 20-year-old kid says, I'll give up 3 months of my life, I mean, he could have 80 years left.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling you, it may be worth it for Spike. He may mean that. The joy that he would get would be worth it.
No. How could you have joy when you know you're going to die 3 months early?
Because he cares that much about the Knicks winning.
Yeah, but I care too much about him to allow him to do it.
I won't allow him.
By the way, with all due respect, I say this, it's complete sincerity. Spike cares more about the Knicks than you care about Spike. I'm just saying that right now. Spike thinks about the Knicks every single day, Don. With all due respect, you don't think about Spike every single day.
Do you know what? He said all due respect, Don, and in essence, he spit right in your face.
I know what he did. Yeah. I saw it.
I just want you to know what's happening.
More importantly, I felt it.
Yeah. Some spittle.
I was not spit. That was a fact.
Peter, why don't you...
The only thing I'm spitting is straight facts.
Well, why don't you spit some straight facts and read the next ad that you're supposed to read?
All right. Well, I am Peter Rosenberg, and you need to come get some Wranglers. That's right, New York. Security Dodge. Long Island's Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some right now. You can lease a new 24 Jeep Wrangler 20 Sport 4XE for $499 a month.
Try that again. Come on. They deserve it.
A new 24 Jeep Wrangler Sport S4XE. For $499 a month. Zero down. That's right. $499 a month. Zero down. All during the starts on the new sales event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, little surprising news broke yesterday, and maybe it was earlier today, but Wandy Peralta, a very valuable arm in the Yankee bullpen, signed a four-year, something like $16.5, $17 million deal with the Padres.
Ew.
And it has three opt-outs. So it's essentially a one-year deal for Wandy. And if he gets hurt, he can keep opting back in. Now, I know, I'm pretty sure, the Yankees would have paid him $4.5 million to pitch for them. But I guess he wanted the security of having those three option years if he blows out his arm. I think the Yankees thought they were getting him back. And the fact that he signed with the Padres, it's surprising. And it could be a little bit of a blow. Is it going to destroy them? No, but he was a valuable, valuable arm in their bullpen. Also, toward the end of the show yesterday, I think it was right after 6 o'clock, announced that the Orioles are being sold to two billionaires, hedge fund billionaires. Yep. And there are some people that are part of the deal now.
Go ahead.
Cal Ripken Jr. is one of the owners.
Very familiar.
Kurt Schmoke, former Baltimore mayor.
Love the Schmoke.
Grant Hill.
He has a podcast called All the Schmoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Grant Hill. Former New York mayor, Mike Bloomberg. Hmm. And Michelle Kang. Well, I'm not quite sure who Michelle Kang is.
I'm not really interesting.
All right. And I will say what I said. Yeah, that's great for Oriole fans. Because their team is so young and so good, and their farm system is so good. They still haven't called up Jackson Holliday, who, when he gets called up, probably going to be American League Rookie of the Year, probably a future Hall of Fame, not Hall of Famer, future All-Star. But with the Angelos family, you felt that the window was short. Because these young players, a team controls you for about 6 years. Then they're gone. The Angelos family, they were not re-signing those guys for the numbers that you get right now. They just weren't. Now these guys are paid $1.7 billion. The Angelos family, they negotiated all these dollar amounts from Baltimore to keep the team there and to really spiffy up Camden Yards. Angelo's family out. They were tight with the buck. And now you got these guys, $1.7 billion. They're both billionaires. Now you have a chance to be good for a long, long time and maybe go out and get a Blake Snell or a Jordan Montgomery, one of the last pieces you need for this team to actually succeed in the postseason.
It's not good news for Yankee fans.
No.
Because the team's good. Now they're going to be able to hold on to their players and spend. You know the Blue Jays spend and also have talent. The Red Sox eventually will get their act together. And the Rays seem to be smarter than everybody else. It puts Baltimore now, I think, right in the conversation. They were in it already, but the hope was, as you said, they'd be selling off those players because they were cheap. But they bring in billionaires, guys that I think are going to want to win, like Cal Ripken Jr., who's going to be invested in the franchise. So now I think you got yourself a major player for the foreseeable future.
It's great for Oriole fans. Oriole fans are great. They really are. And it's a beautiful ballpark to this day. It opened up a long time, 30 years ago.
Wow.
And it's still pristine. And, you know, when they spiff it up, it's going to be even better. So,
I can't wait for them. I can't wait for the spiff.
When's the last time you went to O'Pacey?
I've never heard that.
You really have never heard it called O'Pacey?
No.
Never.
Oriole Park at Camden Yards, yeah. It's called O'Pacey.
Never heard it.
Well, you know what? You're not really that much of a fan, are you? I didn't make it up, Don.
As God is my witness,
uh-huh.
I was living there when they were the only show in town in baseball.
Right.
Went countless times.
Never heard a call.
Not a
Pacey.
Human. Not a human in the area.
Well, you're not into acronyms like I am.
Well, when was the last time I went to OPACY, as it's known? I don't know, a few years.
I mean, in their notes, right? They refer to it. In the team notes, they refer to it. They're 11-5 this year in OPACY. So you think you look at me like I'm some like
no,
clown.
No. It's in the note, though. So they're abbreviating it specifically in the note. They're not
but
saying,
they call it OPACY.
Who out loud says that? Write Kevin Brown and say, does anyone call it OPACY?
You know what?
Out loud?
I'll get Jim Palmer on the phone. He calls it OPACY.
Ask Jim Palmer. I've never heard a fan say.
You don't. You're not in the know like
you
that.
You basically only call it Camden Yards. You don't even really call it Oriole Park. It's really just called Camden.
But it is Oriole
Park. Camden Yards. It is Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
At Camden Yards. So you just shorten it to OPACY.
Again, it's just not.
I've never heard it.
Don, you're with me?
Yeah. Listen, I don't run in those circles, but I've
like,
never.
Wait, don't make us sound like a bunch of perverts.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that call that stadium in Jersey Mill.
What's that?
MetLife.
No,
I've never heard that either.
Mill.
Mills.
No, not Mill. Mill.
No, the only one that's got a nickname is The Rock, the Prudential Center.
If I'm Prudential, I'm red hot. I'm spending all this money and everybody calls it The Rock.
No, because their slogan is a piece of the rock, right? So I think they're in.
Yeah, but you think that GEHA is in that everybody still calls it Arrowhead?
Probably.
You think they're in?
No, because one has nothing to do with the other. I'm just saying that it's the Prudential Center.
If you were the Yankees and they offered you
$200... Piece of the Rock might be Allstate. I don't even know. I guess that ads don't work on me.
What does?
I'm not even sure that this...
No, Prudential's definitely The Rock.
Okay. So I'm just getting confused.
That's why it's called The Rock.
No, but I'm saying...
like a rock.
But a piece of The Rock, is that Prudential or is that Allstate?
Yeah, I believe so. Allstate has nothing to do with rocks.
If you
were Hal Steinbrenner, somebody offered you $250 million to name an American Express field at Yankee Stadium, would you do it?
Yeah.
So would
absolutely
I.
Absolutely not to. I mean, honestly, I respect what they're trying to do. It's not the same place. When it was the same place, Michael, I understand you want to honor it. But they technically move, not far, but it's not the same place.
But I think anybody should do what the Garden has done. I mean, the Garden's essentially Chase Garden.
Yes.
But it's still called Madison Square Garden. But so you can still call it Yankee Stadium, but call the field American Express Field.
And I think people would still refer to it as Yankee Stadium. That's why it would probably be very difficult for somebody to fork over that kind of money.
Well, you know what? Chase forked over a lot of money, and it's still Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, but he probably didn't fork over as much as they would if it was Chase Arena.
I don't know.
So probably a lot cheaper. But they felt like, you know, it's Madison Square Garden. It's been there since February 1968, so it still means something.
And but this is not the original Madison Square Garden. It used to be on Madison Square.
Right.
At Madison,
it was
the
a long
one.
Time ago.
Yeah, but
like
this
the
is the fourth 1800s. One. So things do change. Let's go to Doug in Orange County. Doug.
Hey, Michael. How are you? How
I'm
you guys
great.
Doing?
What's up?
All you?
Yeah.
I was just calling. I loved your take on the Would You Wednesday about the amount of money you'd put out for that. The act, maybe I'd put it
right.
The Robert Redford style act.
Right. How about you?
I'd say for that amount of money, I think you could be more Bruce Willis in Armageddon. I'd say drill away, baby. I mean, for twice that amount of money, you could be Ving Rhames. I'd be Ving Rhames, and you could be Zed. I mean,
listen, I don't know you, Doug, from Adam, but obviously you think that the having Michael be with your wife is some kind of like event, something you could tell your friends about.
But take Michael out of it.
I don't feel the same way about it.
Take Michael out of it. You never really answered the stranger for $250 million. You kept saying that's a lot of money, Peter.
I still wouldn't do it because at the end of the day, it's just money, but it is something that I don't need it, Michael. Now, if I was destitute, like in that movie, right? Didn't Demi Moore and... Woody Harrelson, they went to Vegas trying because they had no money.
Right.
It was like their last bit of money to try to double it, and they didn't. If I was destitute, you got to survive. You do what you got to do. But I don't need money, so why am I going to put myself through that psychological torture to just become richer? That to me doesn't seem worth it to me.
Well, I mean, you're doing well. You're not rich at $250 million. That's quarter of a billion dollars.
Beyond rich.
But it's still gratuitous. If I need it, you do whatever you got to do to feed your kids, to close your family and everything. But I don't need to do that. You see what I'm saying, Peter?
Of course, but I'm
it's
not
my
a monster.
Wife, for God's sakes. Man, I mean, I, honestly, if I was a different person and I had a different relationship with you, this is enough to throw down. Don't bring my wife into your filth. But I know who you are, and I said I'll do anything for good radio, so I'm not mad at you. But Peter, you were, right? In certain circumstances, you can understand a man saying those are fighting words,
right?
Really
even bringing my wife around that filth,
right?
But you know that was only upping the ante. The original thing had nothing to do with me. Then I added another $121 million to it.
No. Just the idea that you're bringing our wives into that kind of conversation.
Yeah, that alone.
In certain circles, Michael.
Yeah, punch right in the face.
That would be, we'd be offended.
If you were sitting around with like a known mobster, you're having a meal.
Right.
Would you go, guys?
Like Tony Soprano.
Yeah, but like you're sitting
and
around.
And I say something about
like
Kong.
You, Mangini. Right. You, Mangini, Tony, and someone else go out to dinner.
Sill.
And all of a sudden you go, guys, wacky idea. Tony, how would you feel about me sleeping with Carm for 120? I don't think you'd do it because you know you'd be TOS. Dead.
TOS.
Terminate on site.
Oh.
That's it.
Is that a thing?
Oh, sure.
He's just made it.
TOS, baby. And you wouldn't do it, but with me and Don, you don't care.
Sniff him dead. All right, let me clean it up. Maybe
your mother.
$511 million for DiPietro.
That's no better.
Well, I mean, you're better, not as close with him as me.
Well, I mean, it's better for my wife, but...
Oh, you don't know that.
Yeah,
he may have no idea what he's doing.
Well, yeah,
you don't know.
But hold on. On the surface, Don, it wouldn't be better for the woman that it would be Rick instead of Michael?
Why? Why? So is your wife shallow or something?
Hold on. You're talking about this person. I'm going to go ahead and remove my wife from this again. This nameless, faceless person.
Right.
Well...
The whole thing's based on just a physical thing. Rick would be preferable.
Well, listen,
why?
From what I know,
he's much better looking than
Rick. And from what I know, believe me, she would have a much better time with Rick.
Wouldn't anybody? All due respect.
Yeah.
Rick has chimed in. I don't know if I could say it.
You know what?
He just said he's very giving.
See?
That's what I was, you know. I was joking about him, though. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Let's go to a guy who knows what he's doing. Richard in Manhattan. Richard.
Yeah. Wow, at 4 o'clock.
Michael, Don, Peter, you guys are missing the greatest pre-Super Bowl story in the history.
Tell us.
Is Mahomes one of the greatest quarterbacks ever?
Yeah, we've talked about that, Richard.
Okay, is he in his prime, Michael?
Yeah, he's in his prime. Yes.
Is Purdy the last draft choice in the NFL draft? Am I correct?
Yes. That's all correct. Yes.
How is San Francisco a 2-point favorite?
Maybe they're a better team.
Because
it's defense. A great point by Richard.
Michael, is the quarterback 70% of the game?
It's a lot.
But the skill position players on the Niners are better than the skill position players rather than the quarterback.
I don't see it, Michael.
Pacheco's outstanding. He's not Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, you're telling me Purdy is better than Mahomes 2 points.
You're missing it. Like, then how did they win a game? Because you can make the case that Purdy was the underdog against every quarterback. Love is a better quarterback. Certainly, Goff is a better quarterback.
I'm talking about this game specifically. I'm not talking about yesterday. All right, let's go to my second. What made Sunday's both games so entertaining was the winning teams did not win the game. It's the losing teams lost the game. And none of the four teams played complete games. You always say, well, you got to play four quarters. They didn't. Both winning teams played half of the game. Yeah. San Francisco never scored. I find that amazing. Mm. That's what makes great sports talk radio, because there were 2 points in both games. Each game had 1 point. The taunting penalty and... one last thing, fellas.
No,
one more?
Music.
Yeah.
Spike brought up Bill Bradley. Bill Bradley would have been the biggest bust in New York sports history if they didn't get DeBuscia. When they made that nickname Dollar Bill, that was a derisive comment. He was not that good. I was told by guys who were a little older than me in their early 70s, Bradley was never the same player when he came back from England. He was one of the greatest college players. He led four guys from Princeton. to the final. He was like Carmelo Anthony. He didn't get the job done.
Well, I want to tell you this, Richard. Bill Bradley be on at 3:45 on Friday.
Yeah, don't
3:45.
Call.
Did you tell him not to call?
He sure
How
did.
How rude are you?
And you know what? Yesterday, if you missed it, Richard called, and he said that Warner Wolf once told him, do me a favor, Richard, don't give me the laundry list, just bring me your best stuff. And Richard thought that was a great thought from Warner Wolf. Yet here he was today. He came again. One and two were good.
Right.
He actually brought two good, and then he has to go to the third one, completely irreverent, out of nowhere.
Here's the thing, what I find. The first one actually elicited a decent conversation.
Yes.
But he was so anxious to get to the second one.
Right.
Like somebody's paying him to get to points.
He could have, and maybe he still will. He could have a topic that we end up talking about in the next segment. It's a really good conversation. But why is San Francisco favored? But then he ends up, oh, now I'm going to go into, they didn't play four quarters. Okay, not as good, but good.
Not bad.
And then he goes, let's talk Bill Bradley.
Would have been the greatest bust in New York sports, if not for Dave DeBuscher.
Oh, boy.
I mean, but he loses me. First of all, if you're just going to go by the fact that Purdy was the last pick, he's a candidate for the MVP. I mean, he had a great year.
But the point is interesting. How are Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs dogs in the Super Bowl on a neutral site? How? Who really, you really feel comfortable betting against the Chiefs?
Well, that's why I went from 2.5 down to 1. I mean, I think most people agree with you. But isn't Love a better quarterback than Purdy, like at least on paper, from where they were drafted and what was expected of them? So the best quarterback doesn't automatically always mean you're the better team.
I think the better point is, how is Patrick Mahomes a dog, period, in the Super Bowl? That's sort of the better question.
He got that dog in him.
That's right.
All right, we'll come back with more of your phone calls. But first, Peter has another thing to say to you, hopefully the right thing.
This message is brought to you by BetterHelp. A common misconception about good relationships is that they must be easy, but sometimes the best relationships have conflict. I mean, doesn't every relationship have some conflict?
Mine doesn't.
None whatsoever?
Nope.
Yeah, no, that can't be true. So listen, despite what the conflict may bring, good relationships persevere. Talk through disagreements, you don't quit, and therapy can be a great place to work on relationship challenges that exist, frankly, in every relationship. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, maybe you want to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, all right? Whether you're looking for a soulmate or not, you can get all the help you need at BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
people are losing their mind over Taylor Swift, how she's shown so often on TV and blah, blah, blah.
Such a bunch of losers.
NFL is...
I'm now Team Lorvis.
I've always been, as you know.
I just posted a new video on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, declaring how I've switched to Team Lorvis.
Lorvis.
3 hours and 9 minutes was the length of that game. Okay? Right. In totality, how long do you think Taylor Swift was now, on TV?
Does this include the big post-game championship celebration?
No, this is the game.
During the game.
Right.
I'm going to go with 10 seconds.
No. Don?
Well, you said no, so I'm going to say 8 seconds.
No. 44 seconds.
That's a lot. That's more than I thought.
Well, but you know, there's I think Joe Pompliano figured out that there was a couple of shots of people preparing crab cakes at M&T Bank Stadium. Well over 44 seconds. So, I mean, why are we losing our mind over this girl, this woman? I mean,
why? But who really is? Is it one of those things where we're just saying people are losing their mind over it, or are people actually losing?
I think there's a faction of this country that think that she's going to tip the election.
I think that's a story being made up so people have something to talk about. I really do.
But people are, okay, well, so it's being made up.
But like, I don't think that's a real... Well, this is what we do, Don, in this political America. Someone comes up with a storyline, and then the crowd that wants that storyline, because it's a good talking point, runs with it, propagates it, etc. I don't think the average American sat there going, damn it, why are they showing Taylor Swift again? We haven't had one person call and say that to us. Not one.
It's a social media thing. I think a lot of guys feel like, man, you're really like taken away from our game because of how often you show them, and you just show the stats. It's nothing at all. With all the stupid commercials and the fat guy with no shirt on, and they show so many stupid things during the course of the game. That doesn't bother you. Why does this bother you?
But you know what's amazing to me, though? Most of these men or women, what's the harm of putting an absolutely beautiful, successful, incredibly philanthropic woman on the screen for 44 seconds? Who cares?
Well, I'm going to tell you, and it's not going to be popular, and you're probably going to say no, but I think it's a major reason. Who is interested in Taylor Swift?
Young girls and...
Women.
Yeah.
And young women and kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? A lot of guys don't want to sit there and watch the football game with their family. It's their time. It's their moment.
But they're okay with seeing the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
No, because their 10-year-old daughter doesn't want to sit and watch the game with them, or their wife isn't going to sit there and comment. I'm telling you, there's a lot of men that just want to sit there, watch the game with their buddies or by themselves, and don't want to sit there and explain football to their daughter or explain football to their wife, because now all of a sudden, after not being interested for years, care and watch the game. They feel like it's their time. I don't agree with this, by the way. I'm just saying I know people that are like that. That they don't want to sit there and watch it with their wives. They want to just sit there and watch the game. And now there are other people interested. Other people talking football with them that they're not used to talking football with. And it bothers them because it's their time. They work all day. They want to sit in front of the game on Sunday with their buddies or by themselves and drink their beer and stick their hand down their pants and scratch their cubes and watch the game. And now they can't do that because... The wife's there, and the daughter's there. Daddy, what is a first down? What is that? Why won't they show Brittany? Why won't they show Taylor more, Daddy? I'm telling you, that's probably what bothers people.
I think it's more sinister.
Well, because who the... But you say it's more sinister.
I think the people that are saying they don't like it are of a political persuasion that knows that Taylor Swift can get young women to register and probably vote the way she wants them to vote. And that would be against their political persuasion. That's it. Did people have problems with Eminem being flipped off? Or flipping off people? Not a word.
Which is interesting. Because
do they have a problem? Constant pictures of Jerry Jones picking his nose?
But that goes against your point, actually. Because if it was really political, Eminem has been much more openly political than Taylor Swift.
But he doesn't have the power to register voters.
But maybe not.
Now, listen, I don't want to get crazy here, but there are certain famous people, musicians, that wear their political leanings on their sleeves.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, you know exactly who Ted Nugent's voting for. You know exactly who Kid Rock is voting for. Have we really seen, do we pay enough attention to know her political leanings? We do.
Yes.
That's known. That's obvious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't to me.
Yeah.
Well, you also couldn't name a Taylor Swift song.
No, but I know she exists. But I don't go on YouTube and see, you know, like I see Kid Rock machine gunning Bud Light. So right. He kind of makes it known what his leanings
Taylor
are.
Taylor Swift did the same thing with Coors Light. It was very strange.
But honestly, I just didn't know if it was out there.
Bartles and James.
Where enough people are now, they may assume that she's a Democrat.
No, they know.
But also,
does the average football fan know that didn't really have any knowledge of her?
Yes, it's very well known.
It is well known, Dom. But here's the thing. If you think it's that, Michael, it ends the conversation. It's not even interesting then. Because I don't think it's what you're saying it's based on. I don't think that's real. I think it's just because people have whatever problem they have with
her. Yeah, but the pundits on like Fox, that's the reason. Well, how could they have a problem with a beautiful, successful, powerful, philanthropic woman? Why would you have a problem with that?
Well, I'm just saying, if you believe it's what you're saying, that it's because she has a political leaning, then we know the answer. There's nothing to discuss.
Well,
no,
maybe,
right,
maybe
Don?
Then there is nothing to discuss.
But, that's my point. I don't know that I think that's really the answer. I think it actually is some deeper thing about women and people getting annoyed with seeing this woman, this happy-go-lucky, powerful woman celebrate. That may be more of a thing. But if it's simply about politics, then it's not worth discussing. We know exactly what it's about, and that seems to be where we're at.
That's fair. Again, I didn't pay attention to it. I don't know if everybody that's into football complaining about it have a political leaning. I just think it's a lot of guys look at football as this is a male moment, and now it's become.
Well, that would be pretty Neanderthal.
And now it's
you watch the game with your friends. I don't like if I had my friends over the house. I don't think Callie would plop in my lap to watch Taylor Swift. I'll tell her Taylor Swift's on the TV and she'll come running in from the other room. She's not watching to see Taylor Swift. Overblown.
But yes, men are Neanderthals, Michael. Especially when it comes down to their territory, marking their territory. Football is very, very territorial.
There's not any more territorial than your children. You should want to be with your children.
Yeah, but then there's Dave Rothenberg. So you really think Dave's an outlier when it comes to football fans?
You want to see the matter?
You know, missing his children's functions, not going to weddings and family affairs because he can't miss football? Not even the Giants, just football. Do you really think Dave's an outlier?
I would hope.
Or are a lot of football fans like Dave? They won't admit it. They won't say it publicly because they don't have a talk show. But don't you think there are a lot of people that are like Dave?
Again, I would hope not, but maybe you're right. Listeners, it's Michael K. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference, and let me tell you, it's real. When my family and I need a ride to the airport or out of town, we choose Legends. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them, and so should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS or visit legendslimousine.com. Use the code ESPN10, ESPN the number 10, to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.